steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. This is the day that we knew would come, and we knew that we would have a conversation about what has transpired over, we can say, the most unusual, the most unorthodox, and the most unpredictable Democratic primary race for governor that we have ever seen. There's a lot to unpack here, but first and foremost, congratulations to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who pulled off an improbable victory last night. I want to delve into the details of that improbable victory, because when you look at the numbers and you look at the countywide data, all of which is starting to roll in pretty accurately now, even though there were some snafus with the city of Milwaukee, which we must talk about. A little bit of a human error, they said, at the central count, which is what we were all waiting for. I couldn't wait anymore. I had to go to sleep. Dr. Ken and I did a broadcast on the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel. So we're just going to do an hour. Maybe we'll do two. 4.5 hours of broadcasting. And by the time we both finally signed off, we still did not have a winner. As I'm looking up at my monitors in studio, it looks like Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is accepting the Democratic nomination at a speech he is giving live and in real time at the Sherman Phoenix. So maybe at some point we'll bring you details of that speech, or we'll play it for you another time. But there's some things to take into account here. So first and foremost, the county executive is no stranger to winning close races, if you can recall. He was elected Milwaukee County Executive in 2020, and guess who he ran against? Another hardcore far-left liberal progressive in State Senator Chris Larson. It also should be noted that Wisconsin State Senator Chris Larson was an unabashed supporter of Francesca Hong, and he made that abundantly clear in a number of Facebook videos and online posts that he spread throughout this entire election cycle, giving his support to Francesca Hong, at the same time bashing the establishment. So when County Executive Crowley got elected in 2020, he beat Chris Larson by less than 1,100 votes, and there were about 190,000 votes cast. So that was a very small victory as well. But the person that he ran against and the political sentiments of who County Executive Crowley ran against in 2020 versus who he ran against just last night, their ideologies were the same. Now, I guess I could go into some long, detailed soliloquy patting the establishment on its back, because at the end of the day, the candidate that was labeled establishment, the candidate that was labeled too centrist and too moderate and not liberal enough, is the one that ultimately was victorious. There's a lot more detail than just that. And this is not one that is really easy to comprehend if you look at all of the polling. And so the Marquette University Law School, let me be real clear about this, should never be allowed to release another poll again, because there's something that I suspect in how they do their polling. They dramatically under-index the African-American vote. It is the almost exact ward-by-ward coalition that got David Crowley elected to the county executive position in 2020. That exact same, I've got the heat maps. It is almost the exact same blueprint of the same voters that supported him last night. But there's a huge difference that we are not accounting for, and I've got a bunch of details on it. Kelda Roy staying in the race completely evaporated Francesca Hong's possibility of winning. Without Kelda being in the race, Francesca Hong not only wins, she wins by a comfortable margin of probably 25 or 30,000 votes. And I got all the details on that. Oh, Fran, she should be very mad at Kelda. Kelda never had a pathway to victory. She did not. There was no calculation. There was no political path. There was no amount of money that she could have spent. Kelda has become a very familiar political commodity, which is not necessarily bad, but when your brand of political commodity is that of ambition, Wisconsin voters don't like that. When you polled Kelda Roy's supporters, and they're a hearty bunch, not ain't that many of them, but it's enough of them, and you ask them who their second choice is, better than a third, actually 34%, of Kelda's supporters say that Francesca Hong is their second choice. If you ask them who their third choice is, of course, it's going to be David Crowley, but it's kind of a distant third. Kelda Roy's and Francesca Hong represent the exact same constituents and the same geography in Madison and in Dane County. Kelda remaining in this race and taking 60,000 votes in this statewide contest was just enough to weaken Francesca Hong's coalition. And so we're going to give you some details of that. We got a YouTube poll question up for you. Just curious. Do you think that the Hong campaign will request a recount of these ballots? Now, if it was within 0.25%, the state of Wisconsin would pay for that recount. But because it is just over that, we're looking at about 4.4% is what the margin of victory is. Somewhere is around 3,000 votes. I got the exact number somewhere in many of my open tabs here on my computer. Because there were some irregularities at central count, that's why it took so damn. That's a problem, because the election that we are going to have, so the next one we're on our way to, November 3rd, there can't be any election irregularities. First of all, this was a lower turnout election, a little bit higher than we suspected, but still probably less than 30%, so that's par for the course. And if the city of Milwaukee, for whatever the reason of this quote-unquote human error, whatever the cause of that is, the human errors may be compounded when you have, I don't know, three, maybe four, potentially five times the number of voters. Here's why this is significant and why Francesca Hong would be well within her right to request this recount. I don't know if it's going to change the result, but if there are errors in how we record votes and how we report numbers and the digital transfer of voting information from the voting machines to the central count, if there's something that needs to be ironed out and fixed prior to November 3rd, we got to get it done. Let me tell you why. Tom Tiffany is an election denier, regardless of what the result is going to be come November 3rd. And I think that we're all hoping for the same result. There's going to be skepticism of those election results. So if there's going to be skepticism in election results, Let's have all of that figured out and sorted out so we can get both sides, both Democrats and Republicans and liberals and progressives and moderates and independents and centrists, believing in and trusting our system of how we count these damn ballots. The poll that stirred me the most was the internal poll that was conducted by the Crowley campaign. When you do an internal poll, you are asking real specific questions of voters, like, well, if Francesca drops out, then who are you going to vote for? Well, if David supports a moratorium on data centers, are you more likely to support him? Internal polls are about as leading and favoring of the candidate and the campaign that is doing that internal poll than anything else. He was even losing in their own internal polls. He had never polled better than 32 or 33% on polls that his campaign, the Crowley campaign, paid for, that essentially lead people into supporting David Crowley. So when I saw that poll, I was like, it's very consistent. He was not leading at any point during this cycle. Last night, it was the complete opposite. Francesca Hong really didn't lead at any point as the votes were being counted. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to decipher some things. We're going to figure some things out. And we are going to rejoice just for a moment that I believe it'll be easier for Democratic coalitions to come back and coalesce behind David Crowley. But more importantly, I think David Crowley has the kind of political sentiments, especially when I share with you some of the outstate, very rural, purplish, if not bleeding red counties that favored him over Francesca Hong. There's some counties where the vote margin was 4 or 5 votes. And it only leads me to believe, all of you that said, oh, I'm not going to vote, I'm going to wait until November. If a few more of you would have said that in just a handful of counties throughout the state, this would have been a very, very different result. That is why everyone needs to vote in every single election, even if you have to hold your nose and do so. Even if you are not really a party faithful person, everyone needs to cast their ballot because you never know when you are going to have a contest just like this one. David Crowley is going to potentially help the Democrats get legislative majorities where I don't know if a Hong campaign could have done that. David would be very credible in campaigning in Senate districts and assembly districts around the state that are very competitive. They're within the margins as well. And David campaigning there on behalf of that Democratic legislator could actually do some good, because if the Democrats do not have a majority in the legislature, David's first term as governor, assuming he wins, is going to be exceptionally difficult, and there will be lots of obstacles if he wants to get things actually accomplished. The other big thing is we have a census coming up shortly, and redistricting is going to be top of mind for many, many people. And we know that the maps that we have now are much more favorable to Democrats. Well, the party that has the majority in the assembly, in the legislature, redraws the maps for the next census. Assuming that David Crowley is able to win, he will be governor when the maps are getting redrawn. So having fair maps that adequately represent Democratic voters and the districts in which they live in is paramount. That is why this legislative majority is exceptionally important. So now it's a lot easier for us to talk about, whereas if Francesca Hong would have won last night, then talking about these legislative majorities would have been an afterthought, because her whole campaign would have been platforming democratic socialism and not necessarily getting a majority of even moderate Democrats elected to the Wisconsin state legislature. Got a lot to talk about today, and thank you all for choosing to spend at least part of your morning with us. And also thank you to those who spent a good portion of your evening with myself and Dr. Ken last night. We had an interesting broadcast. 4.5 hour live stream we did. That was very impressive. So thanks again to everyone who participated via Hughes Views 414 on YouTube. I'm going to take a break, come back, and we're going to dive right back into it. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I told you we should ride with the windows open. How you gonna roll if you scared of those?
David Crowley pulled off a victory in Wisconsin's Democratic primary for governor on Tuesday. That was both stunning, a stunning upset, and an unheard-of comeback, defeating the field's frontrunner with a Hail Mary effort in the final weeks of the race that was seen as a test of whether new Democratic socialist victories in deep blue states could be replicated in Midwestern battlegrounds. Let me first give credit where credit is due. While I did not necessarily agree with the issues nor the sentiments of some of her supporters, from a political science perspective, from a grassroots organizing perspective, talking about meeting voters where they are and responding to political extremes coming from Donald Trump 2.0, the campaign that Francesca Hong ran was a beautiful exhibition of political science. She did everything right. Now, you may disagree with some of the things that she may have said during what we call Woke One and maybe some of her tweets, but when you think about it, both candidates had tweets from a long time ago that they likely regret, but at the end of the day, I don't know if that mattered. What she needed to do, and it looks like her strategy was executed, but she had a monkey wrench thrown in the plan, and the monkey wrench that was thrown into this plan that I don't really think anybody accounted for, because again, we were relying on polling that was either inaccurate, under-indexed for certain types of voters, or we just couldn't figure out where a third of the primary voters were going to go because they were still undecided. Ultimately, it looks like they broke for the establishment and supported David Crowley in just the right amounts to give him a very, very small victory. But also, we all underestimated the popularity of Tony Evers. This was very much a last-ditch effort. It seemed like it was too late. It looked like the writing was on the wall. Plus, this entire election cycle was very inconsistent. You had candidates that were in the race that didn't have paths to victory. You had candidates that were all agreeing with one another, which ultimately was a benefit for Francesca Hong and her platform. Mandela gets in the race in December. That didn't help. Sarah Rodriguez, who was supposed to be the heir apparent, as she is still currently the lieutenant governor, her financial woes ended up tanking her campaign. Then David Crowley, being respectful, he drops out, puts his support behind Sarah Rodriguez. And then all of a sudden, within a couple of days, David Crowley is back in the race with the support of the governor. I think at the end of the day, that did it. That helped. We all underestimated the popularity of Tony Evers. And people think because he's not a fancy speaker, he's not particularly flashy, he is not boisterous, he's a very, very humble man. At the end of the day, politically, I think that's the sentiment of most Wisconsin primary voters. Remember, primary voters are a little bit older. Young voters like to come out to the rallies. They like to party. They like to be where the excitement is. They like to have their issues be promoted front and center. But at the end of the day, the lowest cohort of voters in any election, primary or general, are 18 to 29. Now, I don't know what the details are of how they performed for Francesca Hong, but I don't know if it was quite enough. But underestimating the impact that Tony Evers could have in this race is something that we probably all did. But the 50-plus thousand votes that Kelda Roy has received, like, I've got some statistics here I'm going to read for you in a second. If, like, something like if 3 out of 100 Kelda voters would have voted for Francesca, because a third of Kelda's voters, so, I don't know, close to 17, 18,000 voters, said that Francesca Hong was absolutely their second choice. Yet Kelda stayed in the race. Kelda was a spoiler. So David Crowley needs to send a bouquet of flowers and some chocolates and some teddy bears to Kelda. Crowley defeated Francesca Hong by less than half of a percentage point in an election outcome that none of the statewide polls predicted in every survey, including one Crowley's own campaign paid for. Hong carried a double-digit lead in the race. Crowley was declared the winner by the Associated Press early Wednesday, August 12th, after a series of reporting delays in Milwaukee, Winnebago, and Greene counties. There was something that happened in Winnebago County. They had to count the votes by hand. What, you guys, we can't have faulty election tabulations when the Republican nominee is an election denier. Do you understand my concern about how this damn thing can go left in November? Because if we have a similar result, and I'm not even going to try to predict the result of that one. I'm not in the prediction game at all, because that ain't my cup of tea, obviously. If this race is within the margins come November 3rd, not only will the Tiffany campaign double down on election fraud, because what they'll do is they'll point to what happened during last night's primary, but the entire Trump apparatus that has built itself on election denial, including January 6th, which was a physical and violent representation of Donald Trump supporters denying an election that Donald Trump legitimately lost. We don't want that kind of energy here. And so I have to make sure, or let's do whatever we can to make sure whatever snafus or mistakes or human errors that transpired last night are rectified before this campaign against the actual election denier in chief starts up. Quote, David is ready to get back to work, build a broad coalition, and win in November, Crowley campaign manager Garen Randolph said in a statement. Tuesday's election outcome underscored the popularity of Governor Tony Evers. The Milwaukee County executive had dropped out of the race in July in reaction to polling that showed he had failed to break through in a crowded primary, but returned to the race just days later with an endorsement from Evers, who holds a job approval rating of more than 50% in a recent Marquette University Law School poll. I just can't believe anything that came out of that poll. It almost seems like, and I can't prove this, obviously. I did send a couple of choice messages, emails, and a tweet or two regarding the Marquette University Law School poll. Like, their polls should be deemed less than credible, like fake news, like tabloid, from this point forward, because it was absolutely no good. I think that they biased their polls in a way to elicit a particular outcome. So I made a mention yesterday that an organization that I have been running for the last 15 years, it's a political organization. We use a pollster out of Washington, D.C., and we've done polls over the years. We've polled in mayoral races. We've polled when it comes to issues. And we found that in 2020, must have been 2023, maybe 2022, when Cavalier Johnson was elected mayor, the Marquette University Law School released their poll. We then conducted our own poll using a different pollster out of Washington, D.C. And our poll, and I remember seeing, it must have been 2022, because I saw Chevy at our one-year anniversary party for the truth. So this must have been the winter of 2022, somewhere January 2022. And our poll had just come out. And our poll showed Chevy beating Bob Donovan by whatever the margin was. And so ultimately, when the election took place, the poll that we did, not only was it accurate to the point, it was dramatically more accurate than the Marquette University Law School poll. And I was curious then, like, how they got it so miserably wrong. Like, it was great for us, and it was great for my organization, because we were the credible pollster. In fact, I was issued an apology by a local journalist, because when we released our poll, like, oh, Sherwin, your poll is full of BS. Marquette University has the accuracy on the poll. They actually apologized to me because they were miserably wrong when they said that my poll was the one that was inaccurate. The Marquette University Law School under indexes for black voters. They think that y'all don't vote. And so they don't even ask black voters. Therefore, and this needs to be noted for any candidate that's running for office, there might be a stereotype and an assumption and probably a generalization, and I can understand why somebody would have that generalization, that African-Americans don't vote just as a whole. But those of us that are voters don't miss an election. And when you have contests like this where literally every vote counts, we can be the difference. And no one would suspect it because our participation is not expected. Let's talk to Linda. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
It's a great day in Milwaukee. Hello, Sharon. And the best of Milwaukee has stepped up, and we must step up with him. Hello, somebody. I said it, Sharon. I'm so happy. I tried to contain myself throughout the whole intro of your monologue, but, you know, I just couldn't contain myself because I see it. The best of Milwaukee has stepped up, and the best of Milwaukee must step up with him, and we must be the change we want to see. Hello, somebody. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy. I want Sharon, you and I, you're going to come pick me up. We're going to dress up in all the election gear. I'm trying to tell you because I'm telling you, the best of Milwaukee will take down Tiffany and we will make a political stand. Hello, somebody. And that Marquette poll guy, he should be fired because, yes, they never poll us, and I always wanted to be polled. I just called WISN, and I said, why is that poll always wrong? You know, he should be fired for that racist, biased polling. That's all I had to say, Sherry. I'm just happy, that's all. Because this is a changing point for us. I don't care what you say, Sherry. Your Powerball predictions is wrong, and your political prediction in this case was wrong, and I'm happy you were. But yes, this is the best time for Black Milwaukee to step up and be the change we want to see in this. Hello.
Hello.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Huh? All right.
You too. All right, then. Hello, somebody. Sounds like she wants to get polled by me. Why does she have to say that me and her are going to get all dressed up? And No, that has nothing to do with anything that happened. Don't bring me into this. I see that you want to get polled, Linda. I'm not going to poll you.
Shaboing, boing, boing.
No, shaboing, boing, boing. And I'm not polling anybody. I'm done polling for a while.
It tastes so good.
I want to make sure that the irregularities in how we count our votes are cleared up. If an internal poll done by the campaign, which are usually the most favorable, because they'll give you some insight as to where you need to be and where you need to maybe change your messaging, because they ask voters, like, if David had this stance on taxes and the millionaires, would you change your vote? If David had this stance on public education and fully funding public schools, would you change your vote? And so what internal polls oftentimes do is they give you a different pathway to pursue. And you can change your campaign strategy to maybe adopt the philosophy of the voters. He was losing even the internal poll. So what the hell were we supposed to do? But here's the thing. There's some folks that just believed. And maybe that's all it takes. Maybe it has nothing to do with science and anything like that. I have not yet considered Francesca Hong's supporters and will they get behind David Crowley? I think it was very easy for them to say when she was comfortably leading and running a really, really fantastic campaign. I think it was very easy for them to say, hey, when Francesca wins, you all you moderates and independents and centrists and establishment people, you all need to get behind her. And their energy was very, very strong because they knew that they would need the largest coalition possible to support Francesca Hong against a Republican, because the onslaught of negative campaigning coming from Trump world and coming from Tom Tiffany and the Republicans would be overwhelming. And they are armed, they're cocked, and they are ready to go. They've got a tremendous amount of resources to pour into Wisconsin, because Republicans have always had a tremendous amount of resources to pour into Wisconsin. So building bridges between Democratic socialists and centrists, moderates, and establishment folks is something that her supporters needed to do. Now, I'm wondering now that the shoe is on the other foot. But here's the thing. I don't expect Francesco's supporters, at least not all of them, I don't expect them, because they have a different political philosophy. And that's why I kept saying throughout this cycle, they really aren't Democrats. They're not team players. I did hear a little bit of her speech that she gave last night. It wasn't necessarily a concession, but I think it showed a tremendous amount of grace and a tremendous amount of class. She did not go negative at all during this election cycle. She very well could have, but she didn't. She stayed positive. She stayed optimistic. She stayed upbeat. We even got a benefit, right? She even changed her way. Now she loves Thanksgiving again. She used to maybe didn't like Thanksgiving. You know, maybe she didn't like it, but now she loves it again. In fact, I'll tell you what, Franny Pants, because now I'm back to calling her Franny Pants. If Franny Pants invited me over for Thanksgiving, I would eat Thanksgiving dinner with Franny Pants. I'd love to talk to her about her fantastic campaign that she ran. Now, I also think that some of the issues, I'm not entirely sure which ones, but some of the issues that she promoted, it is probably in the best interest of the Crowley campaign to adopt some of them, including he's going to have to do a moratorium on data centers. He's just going to have to. Or at least say it and then see how far it actually gets, because the strength of her candidacy in rural counties, I believe, was based on her rejection of wanting data centers to be built in outstate Wisconsin. We'll take a break, come back, continue our chat. Feel free to join us on the YouTube, 1017 The Truth on YouTube. Hit subscribe. You'll be able to view the in-studio camera and also participate in the highly entertaining YouTube chat. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Early Wednesday, the race between Democratic Socialist Francesco Hong and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley remained too early to call, as 28,000 absentee ballots from Milwaukee were delayed because of a human error in uploading the results. I did speak to someone who is familiar with that human error, and this is what they told me. And they spoke to me on the condition of anonymity. I want to tell you who it is so bad, but I can't do it. I got to respect my sources. Apparently, this is what happened. So it's not some huge conspiracy. It's not, oh, all of a sudden we found 15,000 votes for David Crowley, which is kind of what happened. They're like, oh, what are these? Oh, votes. Look at, let's count those. This is what it came to. Good Lord. Somebody didn't push a button. Like, there's an upload to the flash drive button. Imagine if that's what your only job is. Hey, everybody. Hey, I'm here clocked in. Hey, everybody, look, it's the flash drive guy. Because the flash drive guy, you only see once every 4 years. You don't see the flash drive guy all the time because you don't need him. And they show up. They got a suit on, probably. Probably red, white, and blue suit, because it's real patriotic, because you're the flash drive guy. That's what you do. You take the flash drive and you flash drive it. Okay, and the flash drive guy's like, everybody step back. Let me work. Everyone, clear the way. Oh, the flash drive guy is here. He's going to do his work. He's probably real flamboyant with it. Probably got on glittery socks like Michael Jackson, because he's the flash drive guy. You got to be a little flashy, because this is the job. This is what he does. He makes sure that all the very coveted data that goes into our very precious babies of the electronic voting machines. Side note on that, I wonder if anybody else had this experience. Don't worry, we're going to get back to the inept flash drive guy in a second. I think the flash drive guy went down to Illinois and got to some dispensaries and got some dispensary weed. He was like, I'm the flash drive guy. I'll get high if I want to. Can't tell me I can't get high. I'm going to go down to Illinois. We probably should flock camera the flash drive guy to see if the flash drive guy was high. Bars. So when I go vote yesterday, I was number 48 at about 1:45 in the afternoon, which is not horrendously low for my voting ward, but nothing really to write home about. So it was hard for me to ascertain what the black community's sentiment was, because my ward that I live in is exceptionally black. I only see white people in my neighborhood by accident. Like they're on their way somewhere else if I see them. Now, we got a couple of whites. I like my whites. We've got a couple of decent whites. But I don't see very many of them, and I'm actually okay with that. That's fine. So when I approach the table at Ward 159 at Sherman School on 50th and Locust, there's two black ladies there. One of them recognized me from 101.7 The Truth. God bless her. She is, and I had to say my name and I give my ID. I said, Sherwin Hughes. She said, Sherwin Hughes from 109.9 AM FM, DC, Washington, DC. Sherwin Hughes from 94.5 WKLH. I was like, close enough. She said, oh, I listen at you every day, Sherwin Hughes, from 98.3 WJMR. I said, like, oh, thank you, ma'am, for listening to me on 102.9 The Rock. So I give them my identification. They find my name in the poll book. I sign my name right next to the printout in the poll book. And then a white feller comes up from nowhere. Why white people just be coming out of nowhere? It's a very black experience I'm having yesterday. Going to my polling location in a black neighborhood. The two poll workers sitting at the table are two black ladies. One of them recognized me from the radio, even though she couldn't exactly name the frequency. Are you Sherwin Hughes from 82.6 The Beat? I say, yes, ma'am, I am. And then a white guy comes up and says, do you want to vote with this ballot right here? Do you want this ballot here? I said, what is that? He said, oh, it's electronic. You feed it into the machine, and then you can vote on a computer with the touchscreen. And he's, like, pushing the ballot, like, into my hand. I'm like, hold on, Playboy. I said, I don't know what that is, dog. I said, what is this? He said, no, it's electronic here. And it's, like, a blank piece of paper with, like, there was some writing at the bottom of it, but it was mostly blank. But I guess you slide it into electronic voting machine, which I have never seen in my polling location before. And I've been voting at the same place since 2006. I don't like change, especially when I'm going to do my duty now. So this white dude just comes up. No, here, you want to do this with the electronic ballot? I said, this is not the time to experiment, sir. And he's still pushing. Were any of you asked or encouraged to use touchscreen voting? Because I didn't like that because he was, like, pushy. Because I'm thinking to myself, first of all, why was he so adamant about me changing the way that I vote? No, I like the Scantron. That's what I like. Give me the ballot. I want to take my pen because I try to be real neat in a circle. I challenge myself to not have any of my ink outside of a circle. I like to do that. Leave me alone. I find joy in the smallest of things. You find joy in small things. Sherwin finds joy in small things, too. But then the white feller comes up, and he was very white. It's extremely Caucasian. Here, electronic. I said, I don't want to do that. And I'm glad that I didn't, because what if some of these irregularities with the flash drive guy was people using that damn electronic voting? I like it the old-fashioned way. I want a paper ballot that can actually be tracked. A piece of actual paper, because these are not the days and times that we mess around with. This is just my opinion. For those of you that like to vote electronically and you feel more comfortable doing that, I don't like it because whatever is on that computer, I believe can be some kind of way manipulated. And I don't know what our cybersecurity is here in the city of Milwaukee. What if we got a federal grant to make sure that we have cybersecurity in our elections? But if Donald Trump and his Department of Justice doesn't like Wisconsin because we tend to be a little bit too blue voting for him, and what if the city of Milwaukee lost hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in cybersecurity grants, and what if there are actual vulnerabilities in our voting machines? I actually think about this stuff. I didn't like it. So, white feller, if you're listening, relax. I'm trying to push your electronic voting on me, Mr. Man. Apparently, the flash drive guy did not push the proper button to upload the data that was electronically recorded from City of Milwaukee ballots yesterday, and that led to an incredible, incredible delay. However, I have been assured that all of the counts are up to date and they are accurate. I'm going to take a break, come back. I want to save this next part for an hour or two, so I'll do another segment on some of the incredibly slim margins that David Crowley won by in some of these outstate up north counties. And some of these counties David probably never even went to. There's no way he went to all 72 counties. Because some counties, I'll be honest with you, not worth going to. Not worth going to a county that has more cows and more Ford F-150s than you have actual voters. But he was able to get very, very small vote margins in some of these very, very rural counties. So that must count for something. And maybe that's on the strength of the Tony Evers endorsement. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes doing post-election wrap-up, I suppose, of an improbable victory by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, in which he did defeat what we believe was the front-runner for the entire cycle, State Representative Francesca Hong, who we affectionately call Franny Pants. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let's start with Florence County, which is in the far northeastern portion of the state of Wisconsin. Florence County borders on Upper Michigan. David Crowley received 38.4% of the vote in Florence County. Francesca Hong received 38.1% of the vote in Florence County. Raw vote totals. For those of you that think that your vote doesn't matter, your vote doesn't count, David Crowley got 123 votes in Florence County. Francesca Hong got 122, a one-vote margin. That might have come down to a single household. The wife was a supporter of David because he's a chocolate man. He's very chocolatey, dark-skinned. And the husband was like, I'm not going to vote for that darky. I'm going to vote for the Asian lady because I fetishize her. And there you one vote. What's another close one? Oh, this one, not so much. What is this here? Crawford County. David Crowley, 38.7. Francesca Hong, 33.2. David gets 767 votes. Franny Pants got 658. Other candidates got 28% of the vote. Having that crowded selection, because when you got your ballot, they were all on there. I forgot about Missy Hughes. I'm like, hey, Missy, ain't seen you in a while. Saw her on the ballot. Burnett County. David Crowley, 578. Francesca Hong, 462. Other candidates, 434 votes. Iron County, far, far north county, borders on Lake Superior. David Crowley, 215 votes. Francesca Hong, 207. Other candidates, 151 votes. What's another one here? Taylor County, David Crowley, 524. Francesca Hong, 397. Other candidates, 354. Perhaps this will be a valuable lesson to both political parties. It likely is not in your best interest to have such a crowded primary with candidates who have no realistic path for victory, because they will spoil this race for someone. And I could see if people that voted for Kelda or people that voted for Mandela or those early supporters of Sarah Rodriguez. Here's the thing. Their political agendas were almost completely and totally identical. There was no reason. Here's what I thought was going to happen. I thought that Francesca had
more of a direct path to victory because her voters and her supporters are very, very specific. And her agenda talked about things that sometimes Democrats either don't discuss at all or don't go far enough on. And there's a very specific constituency that I personally believe that only she could motivate. I was wrong. The number of progressive voters that found something in Mandela and Sarah Rodriguez and in particular Kelda Royce, when I get into the details of how Kelda's supporters and Kelda being in that race actually took the race from Fran, the way I handicapped it, if Kelda drops out of the race, even if she doesn't endorse, but let's say she drops out of the race and she endorses her state assembly representative, which is Francesca Hong, Fran wins by 30,000 votes. But with Kelda staying in and getting better than 50,000 votes, which we know that those votes, the vast majority of them, would have gone to Fran. Let me just break it down a little bit further. If just 5% of Kelda's voters would have voted for Francesca Hong, David Crowley's lead is erased in that 5%. If you ask Kelda Roy's supporters who their second choice is, 34% of them said absolutely it's Francesca Hong. Okay, let's assume that's true. Let's assume that the, let's say, 60,000 votes that Kelda got, she drops out of the race, and then a third of her supporters, so 20,000 people, would go to Francesca. Like, that's an accurate prediction. Francesca wins by 17,000 votes, give or take. That really is where this race was lost. Progressives had far more candidates to choose from than did moderates and centrists, which is represented by the establishment wing of the Democratic Party in Tony Evers and in David Crowley. Now, this does not mean that the establishment is the clear winner. It means that there is some serious leftward movement of the Democratic voter coalition in the state of Wisconsin, at least in the primary. I don't know what these general election voters are going to do because there's a very large contingent of people, better than 50 or 60% of the eligible and or registered voters that did not vote at all last night. They didn't. Now, the question is, what do those voters want to see? Do they want to continue, you know, David Crowley's pathway? Or do they want to embrace something from what Mandela offered? Not Joel Brennan, because we – shout out to Joel Brennan, though. Hold on. Joel Brennan – ended up getting just under 5% of the vote. So I can't call him milk anymore because he got better than 2%. He didn't need to be in the race at all. And I, boy, did I make a stupid prediction with him. We were all stupid a little bit. Thank you, Marquette University Law School poll. Made a wonderful mess out of things. Had us thinking stuff that wasn't true, but it wasn't just them. It was even internal polling from the Crowley campaign. It just wasn't looking good for David at all. And that is why, you know, a lot of us were disappointed by that quote-unquote debate, because finally we could see a little bit more of the candidates' personalities. I wanted to see them challenge each other. I wanted them to shoot down each other's ideas, but that didn't happen. But I think ultimately that debate, shouldn't even call it that, a candidate forum is really what it was. I mean, it was what it was, right? It did what it needed to do. It just put all the candidates on stage and allowed them to agree with one another. So at least on the issues, most of those folks who are running for governor are not too far apart. And we just hope that that's going to be enough for general election voters who are going to have their say in about 84 days. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.